Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Premier Chelsea, your source for all things Premier League, but starting with Chelsea first. Coming to you on your speakers and headsets, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm one of your hosts, Jackie, and I'm here with my good friend, and I'm on the same time zone this time, Rahul. Welcome back. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. Welcome back to you, back to the East Coast.
I'm back in the East Coast with you. We're so close, but so far, I guess. I think we're like 35 minutes away from each other, but life gets in the way and we've got to keep going, so let's chat Chelsea, my friend. And I think the last one we said we're coming off a high. I don't think we've got off that high, although Chelsea did everything in their power
they
to
tried.
Almost So if you've not been following along with Chelsea, we obviously played in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup and we played against Leicester City. And Raul, what a great result it ends up being. But I know it was touch and go there for about 85, 90 minutes. Why don't we start by breaking down the starting 11? Why don't you take us through the starting 11?
Yeah, Rob Sanchez back in goal. Seems like he's going to be getting the opportunities at least in these last two cup games. Gusto, De Sassi, Chalobah, Cucurella. So same back four, I want to say, from the last time we played against Newcastle, which is good to see for continuity. Caicedo, Gallagher, Enzo was suspended, which we missed in the build-up to the game. Palmer, Mudryk, and Sterling, and then Jackson up top.
Yeah, so I think pretty much we were looking at potentially having Thiago Silva in there, but I guess I want to say, lost his place at this point. I don't know if he's got any injury issues with Chelsea. It's hard to tell these days. And honestly, other than us missing out on Enzo, the big thing that stands out to me, Rahul, is Raheem Sterling. I think we all called for having Nani Madueke in the starting lineup. Pochettino sees it a little differently, and we'll break down Raheem Sterling's performance a little bit later, but it was an early kickoff for me, 7:45 a.m. in Texas for you, 8:45. I rose to the challenge, woke up, and I said, I want to follow this team. I want to see what they're going to do in the FA Cup. And listen, Rahul, I was rewarded very, very early, 13 minutes in. Marc Cucurella with his first Chelsea goal with a lovely assist coming from Nicholas Jackson. He finds himself on the far post off the left wing, where Raheem Sterling should have been coming off of. And Cucurella buries that goal. I'm sorry to poke fun at Raheem Sterling, but what do you make of that play and getting the early goal?
Really good play, a ball from Palmer into the right wing, right channel. And we've seen Nicholas Jackson wanting to run in the wings and come into the box. And I have to give him credit. I didn't think he was going to look up. He was going to see the run from either Raheem Sterling or Cucurella. But he always seemed like he wanted to assist. He didn't seem like he wanted to score there. And sometimes we say the striker needs to be selfish. Sometimes we say he should be going for goal himself. But he picked the right option. And a really good run from Cucurella, who we've been really critical of in the past. But in this case, he does his attacking duty well and gets us the first goal.
Yeah, and listen, I think it must be exciting for him to get off the mark and get that first goal. And like I said, for Chelsea fans, it's nice to kind of put a quarterfinal to rest a little bit early on so we're not panicking. And I think the most important thing is when you start well, you potentially should end well, but we'll talk more as we get through the game. We do pretty well in that game, Rahul, but there are a couple of key moments in that first half. So I want to run through a couple of opportunities as we go through. I'll go through the stats first just to show how dominant we are in certain situations, but it was 26 shots to Leicester's 5, 8 shots on target to Leicester's 1. I'm sure these stats are completely off, but maybe they're right. I don't know. We had 60% of the ball to 40% of theirs. We strung together 584 passes with a pass accuracy of 85%. I can't remember, Rahul, but I want to talk about the penalty opportunity. I can't remember what minute that happens in. It is a decent build-up from Chelsea. I thought the interplay between Palmer, Mudryk, Jackson, some of the midfield duo of Caicedo and Enzo running around, sorry, and Gallagher running around was looking good. They find a good ball into Raheem Sterling. He gets an opportunity. In my opinion, he was a little slow, and I think you're gauging the conversation today. Rahul is going to be picking on Raheem Sterling a little bit. A little slow to actually get the ball out of feet, but he is tackled from behind, and rightly so. It ends up being a penalty. I'll turn it over to you here, my friend, because you can walk me through the rest of the play. But I have a question for you. Cole Palmer has been our number one penalty taker this season. Any insights as to why in a big game, quarterfinal, we're only 1-0 up and Raheem Sterling is taking this penalty?
So it was in the 26th minute. I know you were trying to get that. So let's clear that up first, which was right maybe 13, 14 minutes after we had scored the first goal. So a great opportunity, like you said, to put the game to bed. And we win the penalty. It's a good move again down the right. Gusto into, I want to say, Jackson. It falls to Raheem Sterling, who decides to take a touch. The defender comes in, swipes him out. And I'm surprised Leicester were arguing that it wasn't a penalty, because it was quite a big lunge into Raheem Sterling. Could he have hit it first time? I don't know. I got to go back and look at if the ball was bouncing, came in too hard. But either way, he does the right thing. He wins a penalty. And we say, who else but Cole Palmer is going to step up? He is our penalty taker. He hasn't missed one yet. And long may that continue. But you see, before the penalty is confirmed by VAR, Mudrik is holding the ball. And in the past, we've seen it most recently, or most memorable, is when Azpilicueta was holding the ball in that Club World Cup final, and we're like, what is going on here? And then he hands it over to Kai Havertz. So Mudrik was holding the ball in this instance. From the videos I've seen, Palmer takes it off of him. He's bouncing it, walking towards the spot, and Raheem's kind of next to him in his ear, maybe saying, give it to me, I need to score, it's been a while. Whatever be the case, right? And Palmer says, all right, go ahead, take it. And that's where my problem is, why isn't there, well, I have multiple problems. First one is, why isn't there anyone else on the pitch, aka the captain, that's saying, no, Palmer is the penalty taker. He takes it. And there's no argument here, similar to what Enzo did against Arsenal back in October. And the second thing is, why is even Sterling putting Palmer in that position? A young man who's full of confidence, full of goals, full of assists. Why are you going and begging him as a senior player to say, give this to me, give this to me? And maybe they have a great friendship off the pitch. They've done this in the past in training. But this isn't training. This is a quarterfinal of the FA Cup, an opportunity to make it to the semifinals. There should be no, it's not a charity game. There should be no, okay, you have it and we'll see what happens. And honestly, he gives it to him. Okay, fine. If you're Sterling, you do whatever you can to hit that as hard as possible, make it impossible for the goalie to pull a save. It's a very tame penalty. It's a penalty that you don't even need a professional goalie to save. and so is the pressure getting to Sterling? Is he hearing the comments? Is he hearing the boos that were pretty obvious in this game? I don't know, but missing the penalty only made it worse for him, because you could see it affected his confidence with a chance that he misses later in that half.
Listen, you touched on some very, very important points. And I think one thing I want to add, Rahul, is this team is crying out for leadership. And I think in this case, I only can speculate here, right? Raheem is the senior player. He's been around the Premier League for a long time. He leans over to the young, inexperienced Cole Palmer, who, it's difficult for me to say those words because he's basically carrying Chelsea on his back this season. But he is inexperienced from the form of the number of games and actual Premier League games that he has played, not only just for Manchester City, but for us as well. So maybe when the senior player is in your ear, you kind of feel, here's the guy with more experience, the guy who's been there in finals, quarterfinals, semifinals. He can take it. He's feeling confident. But you do want that other senior player, and this is where we have more issues with Raheem, where it's Cole Palmer's done a fantastic job this season at penalties. Like you said earlier, he's not missed one. If we're 4-0 up, Rahul, give the ball to Raheem Sterling. Let him have a chance at getting a penalty. And we all say, oh, unlucky, he misses that one. He's going through a bad patch of form. We understand it is what it is. But 1-0 in a quarterfinal and you do that, you're not really endearing yourselves to the Chelsea fans, unfortunately. You're actually making it worse. And he came out on social media. Don't know if he posted it. Someone else, the social media manager, posted it, and he apologizes for missing the penalty kick. You do see the other Chelsea players all in his comments saying, you don't have to apologize, it's okay. Clearly, they're all trying to do what they can to bring his spirits up. But I think only one person can lift you when you're down from the dumps, and that's yourself. And you need to make the right decisions in these moments. It's not about, you're going through a bad patch of form. It's, I'm going through a bad patch of form. Let someone else take the penalty and I'll play myself slowly back into form. And that's really all I can say about that situation. I hope that he learns from it. And it's sad for me to say at 28, 29, approaching 30, that he has to still learn some of these things in professional football. But listen, it is what it is. You've griped about him. We'll continue to gripe about him here later on in the segment. So we'll move on to a positive moment or a silver lining that Raheem Sterling finds. Space, it's almost in the last kick of the first half. and he's able to find space and put in a, I must say, a very good ball into the near post coming from the left. But Cole Palmer with the run off the right, Rahul, and he buries it. He finds a way to wrap his foot around it, swivels it into the corner. He does his trademark cold celebration, and he takes us 2-0 up at halftime. And listen, like I said, waking up early for the game, I feel happy. I feel like I'm vindicated in waking up to watch 2-0 in the first half. How did you feel about this one, my friend?
It was time Raheem returned the favor, because Cole could have easily had a goal earlier in the game. And you can see Cole Palmer gets a goal and he does a celebration. But if you look closely, you can be like, he's a little annoyed that this could have been his second goal instead of his first of the game. But credit where credit's due, a good assist from Raheem. He finds the right ball. He picks the right man. And a good way to end that first half and show our dominance over Leicester, because we were the better side. We were playing the better football. We were playing the better game overall, and just needed that second goal to show that dominance. Because on a different day, we should have been at least 3 or 4 up in that first half. So the second goal was really deserved.
And the stats I mentioned earlier, Rahul, support that. We should have been 3-4 goals up. There are many more moments in that game that we could have had more goals in that first half. We can't touch on every single thing of this. This episode would be a whole 90 minutes long, and we don't want that to be. But listen, we go into halftime 2-0, and I think you and I are both excited. We think that this game is wrapped up. We come out of second half, and we've had this problem this season, Rahul, where we come up as a completely different team in the second half. Sometimes it's for better. More often than not, it's for worse. We almost lose focus. We lose kind of our rhythm. I don't know what the halftime team talk is. For me, it should have been more of the same, guys. Continue what you're doing. But a simple lapse in concentration, and we score a third goal. Unfortunately, it is an own goal in this case, and that's 51 minutes into the game. This Sassi finds himself from a back pass that's causing some issues, and he immediately sends that ball back to goal. I don't know if it's a Sanchez issue where Sanchez is not watching, it's a De Sassi issue where he's asleep, but it's a beautiful finish, but it's an own goal all the way from the halfway line for Chelsea. And just like that, Rahul, Leicester are back in the game.
It's that easy and that simple. And a little bit of pressure on De Sassi, and he mishits the ball. And what a mishit. You've got to say, it takes a lot of effort to find the goal like that, albeit it was an empty net. And that's where I think we've been critical of this team. We've been critical of Pochettino, is why are we making these silly mistakes and bringing a team back into it after we dominated that first half, after we basically did what we did to kill the game and say it's 2-0, let's come back and really put it to bed. Now we've come back and conceded a silly own goal. And look, own goals are unfortunate. They can happen. I'm not blaming De Sassi or Sanchez. We could place blame if we wanted to. But it's just unfortunate that it goes into the net. It gives Leicester a little bit of hope. And every time we get punched, we get a little shaky, and it takes us a little bit to settle back into a game. So just an unfortunate series of events that ends up being a goal for Leicester.
Yeah, and you said we get punched. I think it really knocks the confidence out of us and actually raises the confidence of Leicester, because when it rains, it pours. About 10 minutes later, I want to say his name correctly, Mavididi. It's Steffi Mavididi for Leicester. He takes on Malagusto, who I must say was very, very brilliant for most of that game. But he gives him an inch of space. He's able to do a couple step overs, cut in. Rahul, he wraps his right foot sweetly around that ball and sends it into the corner of the Chelsea net. You can see Sanchez diving, hoping, praying that he'll get a finger onto this one. But it was so beautifully struck. It's one of those goals that I said against Newcastle, we allow them in, and then if it's a fantastic finish, what can you do? We are allowing them in, but take nothing away from his strike, man. That was a lovely goal to watch. And while I should be excited because I'm a football fan, I start panicking because it's 2-2 and 50 minutes in. What are your thoughts on this? What's happening at halftime that we're allowing ourselves, our heads to drop, our tactics to drop, our positioning to drop? A lot of silly little errors are happening when we come back from halftime.
That is the billion-dollar question, is what is Pochettino saying or not saying that is causing the team to basically just drop off and not hit the heights that we expect them off? Or is it just simply down to a group of guys that are inexperienced, that haven't played together for more than, what are we now, into the 6 or 7 month of the season? But that really can't be it. If you're 2-0 up, you come out, you try to control possession, you try to kill the game instead of making these mistakes and then inviting pressure over. And for how great a hit it was from the Leicester player, that is what he wanted to do. That is what he wanted to do, was cut in and take that shot. And we made it extremely easy for him. Gusto is trying to defend him, falls for the step over. There's no one covering. And he hits it. And at that point, you're saying, now we've made a mistake. We've conceded a wonder goal, which is another Chelsea thing that we do, is just concede really good goals. And it's out of nowhere, 2-2, and we're under pressure. Stamford Bridge gets edgy. The away team feels confident and feels that they can pull out a win, when 15, 20 minutes prior, we were fully in control. And so really it comes down to Pochettino and the staff and the players need to come together and just learn from these experiences, because it's one thing to play a championship team and come back eventually and win the game. If you do that in the Premier League, 2-2 or 2-0 out of nowhere, it's really difficult to come back, and we've experienced that firsthand.
That's a very good point. And we have to give a lot of respect and a lot of plaudits to Leicester, right? I thought that they did what they needed to do to at least step up and give a really good football match. Honestly, you and I predicted them maybe sitting back with a low block, but it felt like Leicester came to play football. They didn't have as many opportunities as us, but they found ways to bring the ball up the pitch, struggle with a little bit of a tackle here and there, make it feisty, make it a little bit difficult for Chelsea to play the football that we want to play. And they were having their chances. I know the stats doesn't show that they had enough opportunity or enough shots, but they were having the opportunities to really get in there and just make a nuisance from themselves, which I think they needed to at least make this tie competitive for them. So 2-2, and you think, where do we go from here? And we start to get nervous. But Rahul, the game opens up. We have a couple of opportunities. There is a lovely ball played to Raheem Sterling. He's one-on-one with the keeper. And just like you said, his confidence is low. He's unable to finish that one. And from there you go, it's just going to be a rough day for him. As we walk through the game and get deeper into that second half, Pochettino decides to make a change, and he decides to take off Mudryk. And I know we haven't talked a lot about Mudryk. I thought he was decent in this game. I thought he built off his play from the last couple of games when he's shown he's got the talent. Ultimately, I said I don't need him to get a goal or an assist. So I'm pleased that he's at least getting some minutes and he's able to do what he needs to do. Pochettino takes Mudryk off and he brings on, I think it's Carney Chukwuemeka, if I'm not mistaken. And about 5 or 6 minutes later, he brings on Nani. We'll talk about that in succession, because I know there's another big moment that Sterling gets to play out for a few minutes before that. Why does he decide to take Mudryk off before Raheem Sterling? I know he came out in the press conference, he was criticized, and he said he could see Mudryk's energy levels dropping, which is a head scratcher to me, given that he's played way less minutes than Raheem Sterling. He's also, I think, a decade younger than Raheem Sterling. And honestly, while I repeat that he didn't have the best of performance, I felt like he was contributing on the pitch as it went through.
I mean, I didn't think Mudryk looked tired. But maybe he was managing his minutes, managing his injuries. We do know he's picked up knocks pretty often. And then Carney coming back, who's maybe more of a natural number 10 in that position at 2-2, gives you that option of playing that number 10 position and taking a winger off. And maybe the third thing is just giving Raheem the confidence from the bench, saying, I know you've had a tough game. We see it. We all see it. But I believe in you. I know you can make something happen here. And I'm going to give you an extra 10 minutes and see what you can do. And from what we've seen, he is a fan of Sterling. He does like him. He does value him. And there's nothing wrong with that. Sterling's earned that from his career and from his time in the Premier League. But my issue is, you say for Thiago Silva that I pick him, and I'm actually going to read the actual quote. He said, "It's clear with me, it's always about performing and deserving to play. It's not about the name or experience of being a legend. Of course, Thiago is training well now and waiting for his chance to play." If you're going to apply that to Thiago Silva, that same logic needs to apply to the other 24, 25, how many players are in the squad, regardless of what they've done in the past. If they're not doing it at Chelsea, you have to make the change. And the flip side of that is, okay, you've given Sterling the confidence, but you've most likely affected the confidence of Mudryk, who's saying, well, I haven't done anything wrong in this game. Yes, I haven't scored or contributed like I did in the last game, but if you had left me on, maybe I would have, and we'll never know, right? So, and it's, look, I'm not a manager, never going to be one for a top club or any club, But those are some of the things as a fan you're looking at and you're saying, Sterling would have probably understood if you took him off because he had had a bad game or had game moments that didn't go his way. But for Mudrick to come off before him makes me a little uneasy.
And not only that, Rahul, I know that managers are trying to solve the problem of, and we've talked about this before, I play through the bad form and figure it out. But there's a level where it's bad form and there's a level where something's just not right. And you can see that right before he gets taken off for Madueke. There's a lovely chance for Nicholas Jackson. I'll let you elaborate on it in a minute here of how he really is coming to fruition and he's showing us what he can be if he's consistent. But he gets round his defender. He's tackled. It's a last-minute tackle from the Leicester defender, who ironically is on loan from Manchester City. And it becomes a red card. It's a tackle for the last man or an obvious chance on goal. Free kick is right outside the box. And none other than our favorite person to hate on for this particular episode, Raheem Sterling, steps up. And honestly, Rahul, again, I want to repeat, I don't expect them to score. I don't expect these players to assist, but I expect them to put in some basic effort that shows like they know what they're doing. They're, at the end of the day, professionals. Raheem Sterling hits this ball out of Stamford Bridge. And I know I'm exaggerating, but the fans online have gone full riot. They're making jokes. He's really hit such a poor free kick for a man of his standard. And we've seen him score a couple of free kicks this season, right? And again, doesn't have to score, but in a game of this magnitude, 2-2, at least get it somewhere close to the goal. And if you haven't watched this, the reason it becomes a big deal is because he's literally smashed his ball way away from the net into the stands. Chelsea fans can be seen screaming, yelling, extremely upset at the whole situation. And then after that situation, he's coming off. I wonder what that really is doing for his morale and for his confidence, saying the last kick of the game, you've done something absolutely poor and the manager's taking it off. But I'll pass it to you because you can eloquently describe Nicholas Jackson, maybe praise Nicholas Jackson to switch this conversation up a little bit.
Yeah, Nicholas Jackson deserves credit for this game, but maybe the last few games where he showed up and scored a goal against Brentford. I can't remember if he scored against Newcastle, but he was involved in some of the build-up play in the attacking third. And in this game, really, you see it. He assists Cucurella. He's part of the assist or part of the game for the build-up for Cole Palmer. And in this instance, he's flicking a ball around a defender, picking up on the other end and running straight at goal. And we really saw what Nicholas Jackson is capable of, apart from scoring, his other attributes and characteristics that he brings as a center forward. And apart from the things I've mentioned, in many cases, he was dropping deep, allowing Raheem Sterling to run in behind if he was playing as a number 10 or Mudrick, and creating a little bit of confusion within the back line for Leicester and even the defenders or midfielders, I beg your pardon, by dropping in between the lines. And I have to give him credit because we've been critical of him. We've said this isn't the forward that we need. This isn't the guy that can do it. But he's matured this season. He showed that apart from the goals that he scored, which is not a bad return for a guy in his first year in the Premier League, he has more to his game that he's bringing to the table and to the pitch. But then we also see the other side of Nicholas Jackson, which is at 2-2, the ball falls through in the box, and he... Is it a difficult chance? Yes, no, maybe. But he just skies it instead of putting it into the back of the net. And that's where I think the frustration comes from some fans. But I can take a lot of positives versus this one negative and say Nicholas Jackson, for me, had, without scoring, a very good performance.
Yeah, and for this season, if I'm looking at the correct stats, he's got 16 goals and assists. That's 12 goals and 9 assists in 32 appearances. And just to reiterate, your first season in England, I think he's 22 years old. He predominantly played more as a left-sided winger attacker, and we've seen him do that for Chelsea as well. It seems like Chelsea and Pochettino are slowly converting him into a center forward. Honestly, Rahul, I'm pleased given the season, given the changes, given everything that Chelsea is going through. If he can do this in, maybe we can refer to this as a topsy-turvy kind of season. I want to see what Jackson looks like in a more settled season where we're not fighting for 10th. We have more opportunities. Maybe we're going for a fifth, sixth position next year, hopefully, if that's the case. I know we've all been screaming for a top-level striker, and I wonder, and I think we need one, but I wonder what we'll do for Nicholas Jackson. Is that going to stunt his growth, or is that going to spur him on to almost be like the Didier Drogba of old, where we would bring in a Shevchenko and Drogba would kill Shevchenko, we'd bring in a Torres and he would kill him. And even when we had Diego Costa for a while, you know, Drogba would come off the bench and contribute with a goal here or there and said, listen, I'm old, but I can do it as well. So I'm interested to see how this plays out. It's going to be an interesting one for sure over the next year or so. But props to him where it's deserved. And he did score against Newcastle. Rahul with that little flick coming in from Cole Palmer, if you remember that one. So he got to claim an extra goal in that one in the fourth minute for Newcastle.
Oh, yes. How can I forget?
All right. So it's going into the 90th minute, Rahul, and you and I are almost ready to accept that we're staying a little awake longer for extra time. I heard the story, and I don't know if it's true, but Carney Chukwumeka said that if he came on, Cole Palmer whispered his ear, I'll assist you when you come on. 92nd minute, there's a lovely interchange between the two of them where Carney feeds Cole with a little touch, and Palmer, in the 92nd minute of the game, has the presence of mind and almost the cocky confidence to not worry about doing anything but be himself, with the reverse flick that finds Carney in just the right amount of space. And honestly, for a guy that's been out injured, for a guy that's 18, 19, young, coming into a big game, Carney does a wonderful finish through the legs of the goalkeeper, 3-2. And listen, I'm breathing a sigh of relief, and I'm saying, we're going forward to Wembley, my friend.
Yeah, I think you've described it really well. Overall, a satisfying sequence of play, which was capped off again by Cole Palmer by giving that assist, an unpredictable assist, because a lot of players in that position would maybe want to lay it back to someone running on or try to touch it and put it in their own path and take a shot. But the presence of the mind, the presence of knowing where I am and knowing that Carney will make that run, and it was so well placed, because you could easily overhit it or you could underhit it or hit it at a defender, but just perfect overall from Cole Palmer. And at this point, you're like, is there anything this guy can't do? Because he has an assist, he has a goal, he could have had another couple of goals and assists. And he is that shining player within the squad that you're saying, where would we be without him? And I honestly want to do the analysis and say, without his goals and assists, where would we really be this season? Because we brought him in right at the end of the transfer window. Was he part of the plans? Was he a last minute or something that we said, let's just go do it and see what happens? Because he's changed the whole complexion of our season. I'm not saying we've gone from being this horrible team to moving up in the league. We're still 11th. But in the cups, in certain games, we've seen progress, and it's down to Cole Palmer.
And I know you say you want to do the analysis, Rahul, but if you want to stay a little bit happy and a little bit pleased, I wouldn't dive into that negativity, because if my math is correct, he's got 28 goals and assists for the season in 37 appearances, which is absolutely phenomenal for, I don't want to use this word, but I will say a City reject, maybe a younger player that was on the fringes of the City team. And they said, you know what, if you're not willing to wait for a few minutes here and there, you're free to move on. And Pep's done this in the past before, but Palmer's taking this opportunity with both hands, Rahul. He's absolutely probably the player of the season for me at this point in time. I know Malagusto is up there for a big shout as well, but he's really, really carrying Chelsea, at least in the attacking department. So exciting to see what can come with him. More link-up play with some of these guys. You're seeing them refined. We haven't seen a lot of Carney this season, so it'll be good to see if he gets a bigger run in the games and we can see what he can do towards the end of the season. I'm almost not missing Christopher Nkunku, who's barely played for us as well this season. You forget that he is a Chelsea player. But Rahul, I'll pass it over to you, because 3-2, I'm breathing a sigh of relief. But Nani Madueke had other plans and wanted to get us off our seats screaming in the last kick of the game. What are your thoughts? Walk us through his goal, and it ends 4-2 for us.
If we weren't awake before that, we definitely were after that goal, because what a finish, what a run. It even gets stuck in his feet. He still digs it out, makes the run, quick feet, sets himself up, and then hits it. And yes, there was a deflection, but I think he meant to hit that and put that in the top corner. The deflection helps him a little bit. But how many times have we said, just take the shot from outside the box. Be in the position where at least you can work the goalie, or you can put it on target, and the goalie makes a save, and it falls to a teammate, and they score. And it wasn't the winner, But it was certainly the goal that we deserved and the goal that Nani deserved, because we've said this season that where has he been? Why hasn't he played? Maybe training issues. He's come in against Crystal Palace back in, I want to say, January or December, late December, and scored a goal for us and won the game. We're like, this is his moment to kick on, and he really hasn't. Again, he has this moment now with this goal where he can kick on and hopefully get a run of games. It's tough because he plays on the same side as Cole Palmer, which means you have to move him around, and it's been a difficult situation. But come this time last season, we saw Madueke as one of the positive pieces of last season. So I'd really like to see him get a few more minutes, maybe start a couple of games and see where it goes, because at this point we're in a semi-final. We have 10 or 11 more games in the Premier League, so we do have some minutes to give out. And what better way to develop some of these players than give them those minutes?
Honestly, very, very well said, Rahul. And I'm very cautious when I say this, but with some of the names and the players you're mentioning, it almost gives you a false sense of hope of believing in the owner's vision, which is the young players that are working together to hopefully become the next level of footballer that is the Mbappes and the, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo's and the Messi's. That I don't know if everybody will go there, but between maybe the Jacksons, the Palmers, the Mudricks, and you talk about Madueke, maybe if one, two of them can become elite for us, and we know Palmer is probably at that level for us today, we can say that he still has a long way to grow and get to, but there is hope, and hopefully this is the vision the owners are hoping, and we can see little bits and pieces of it, and I'm hopeful that next season we're not fighting for 10th and 11th, we're pushing in the league, and yes, we're now in the semifinals of the FA Cup, but there's still a lot of work to do, and we'll talk about our opponents next, but we wrap it up, and it's a wonderful way to end that Saturday. But Rahul, I want to transition into Sunday for the other FA Cup game, which is Manchester United versus Liverpool. And I got to tell you, Manchester United have had their struggles this season. My money was on Liverpool for all of 90 minutes. But Manchester United, Rahul, they had other plans. This game was a nail biter. I don't know if we want to go through everything, but maybe high level, if you want to share your thoughts on this. The game ends 4-3 to Manchester United with a 120th minute goal, ending this game and taking it all the way to extra time, and they win it and they pinch it right at the end.
This was coming for Liverpool, because you think about it, and I'm not being salty, but they played against us in the cup final. We should have won. They end up finding a winner. They played Man City a few weeks later. Man City dominated them in the first half. They come back in the second half. Man City should have won. Draw was a fair result. And so they've been playing games. Nottingham Forest, they squeak it out right at the end. So they've been playing a few games now. And I know they've had injuries. They've played the kids. And all of that is valid. But they were due one of these results where things didn't end up going their way. And Liverpool fans may say, all right, it's the FA Cup. Rather have it here than in the league or Europa League. But you've got to give credit to Manchester United. I didn't give them any chance, especially after they went 2-1 down in the first half after leading for most of it. I thought Liverpool would come back and kill it in the second half. So credit to Manchester United. I think a classic game of two big sides or two sides that were going to put it all on the line in the cup. And that's the magic of the FA Cup, where you have to get a result on the day, especially when you move further along in the competition. And I think Manchester United deserved it. Liverpool could have killed it, should have killed it. They didn't. It's a wake-up call maybe at this point that is needed to go into the final part of the season. And now they look at it and they say, well, Man City has extra games to play and Liverpool don't. So maybe it will benefit them.
Maybe it will. And that's maybe what their hope is, to maybe pinch another league before the Jurgen Klopp parade ends. Rahul, is this a little bit of a rain on the Jurgen Klopp parade? Do you think it puts a damper, or this is not one that he's really looking forward to? He probably wants to win another league or maybe the Europa before he goes off on his tour.
It definitely is a damper on things, because I'm sure he would have liked to close it out with more than one trophy, which is the Carabao Cup, and he still might, but it's something that I think they were trying to go for 4. Now it's down to 3. Will they get 3? Will they end up with 1? We don't know. And then you could see it from some of the post-match comments and his behavior And it's so interesting when managers are used to winning and think they should be winning. They lose a game and they come out and get all pissy. In that case, I'm like, well, Pochettino isn't that bad because he's getting used to at least losing a few games here and there. So when we, if and when we do get to a point where we're challenging for leagues and trophies, he may actually be a little more humble in defeat.
Listen, let him get one first and win one first before you worry about being humble in defeat for other things. But look, great time overall. Wonderful weekend of football, Rahul. And the FA Cup draw for the next round is done. Manchester United will be playing Coventry, who Coventry, a lot of credit to them to get the winner against Wolves. They did the work there. And Chelsea will be playing Manchester City, who got the business done against Newcastle. So I know it's early days and we'll definitely build up when we get closer, Rahul. But how do you feel about the draw? Can we make it to the final?
My dream final, which is Coventry-Chelsea, is still on. So,
listen, it's the magic of the FA Cup. It's very possible.
It definitely is. And no, look, it's, I mean, obviously everyone wanted to avoid City, but I look at it from City's perspective and I say, who's the one team they wanted to avoid? And out of the teams left, it has to be Chelsea, because forget what we've done this season against them, which is they haven't been able to beat us. We do have in games like these where it's a single game, a knockout game, especially later in a tournament, where we do pull it out and surprise them. And Pochettino's record, I don't want to jinx it, against Pep, isn't that bad. So we'll take it as it comes in April, and I'm looking at their schedule. They have Real Madrid the midweek before they play us in the semifinal that weekend. So we'll keep our fingers crossed for maybe some rotation from Pep and for Raheem Sterling to show up again against his former team and take us to a final.
Wouldn't that be lovely? A Chelsea versus Coventry FA Cup final. And leave it to Chelsea to, of course, bottle it in the FA Cup final. But listen, that's further along. I don't want to get negative. That wraps up the magic of the FA Cup from this weekend. We are going into an international break, so there will be a little stoppage there. But before we wrap up this episode, Rahul, Chelsea have announced they are coming back to the United States for preseason. And it's quite a few fixtures. I think it's 5 in total and some very good fixtures as well. I'll run through them really quickly, and I want to get your feedback as well. They will be playing Wrexham again. Wrexham has become a big brand in the last few years, and we are seeing them for the second time in 2 years. And we're going to be playing in Santa Clara, California at Levi's Stadium. Then we play Celtic, so we're going back to the Scottish roots over here, and we're going to be playing them in Notre Dame in Indiana. Then Club America, and we're bringing that back into the East Coast, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. And then the quarter semifinals of the FA Cup replayed at preseason. We're playing Manchester City in Columbus, Ohio at the Ohio Stadium. And I'm not sure if this is the final game, but this is what's announced so far. Wrapping up with Real Madrid at a stadium you and I know very well so far, and that's the Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina. So Rahul, your thoughts on preseason? Are you excited to have them back in the U.S.? Are you going to go on tour in the summer?
I am excited. They've now, this what, third year in a row? And then they'll be back next summer for the Club World Cup. So Chelsea as a club and as an organization are really emphasizing the growth in the U.S. And we've seen it firsthand the last 2 years with how many fans turn up, how many fans know the players, even with the significant turnover in the players, and how many fans have been Chelsea fans for the last decade or so and can relate to the team and relate to the trophies and some of the success that we've had, and some of them are hurting like we are. And then there's others that are still getting into the sport. So overall, I think it's a smart decision from the club. I would have liked to maybe see them go to Asia, especially since they're coming back to the US next season, but the opportunities are here. The money is here and our owners are American. So it makes sense. And I'm not sure if I'm going to be going to all the games, but the Real Madrid one does interest me. So we'll see. We'll keep everyone updated as we get closer.
Listen, they're tasty fixtures. And if you're going to follow them this season, it's a good opportunity because unlike last season, it is spread across the US. So there are more opportunities in different time zone, different states for you to go out and see the boys. And honestly, I highly recommend it. It's always lovely to watch them play live. And I know it is preseason, but some of the games are pretty intense. You can see the boys are really up for it. And if you're not there just to watch a beautiful day of football, why else would you go to enjoy the thing? So, Well, I'll pass it over to you. I know you've got some more questions before we wrap up this segment.
Yes, I just have one last question for you, and it's to do with our manager, who has come out and said that when he was at Southampton and Tottenham, they would look forward or want to be going to Wembley to have a day at Wembley and have the opportunity to play in a semi-final or a final. And so we should, as Chelsea fans, celebrate that and be happy that we're in these positions. What is your take on it? Because I have some thoughts, and not to end this on a negative note, but more of just a discussion and a different viewpoint. What do you make of it?
You know, for our listeners, Rahul and I do a lot of prep work for these episodes to understand what we want to present, what we want to talk about, and it helps us be prepared. But we also like to keep it ad hoc, where I get asked the tough questions without knowing what to say. And this is definitely a tough question, but it's one that needs to be discussed, and it's one that I can answer in the rawest form because it's what comes to mind. It gives me a little bit of a small mind or small manager mentality, and that's not a knock on Pochettino, right? I know he's been there, done that, and won some trophies with PSG. But Rahul, with all due respect to the French league, you and I could go there and win a trophy with PSG. I think it's a star-studded squad. Your tactic is to pass the ball to Mbappe, Messi, Neymar, and let them do the business, right? I try to be respectful when I say those things, but it is a different level coming back to the Premier League. He tried with Tottenham. It was very difficult. Southampton's a whole different story, right? Chelsea has a level of history and a level of heritage when it comes to winning. And obviously that was instilled, and we're not blind to it, was instilled through Roman Abramovich and a lot of money that he invested in the club. And rightly or wrongly, our new owners have invested a lot of money in the club, maybe not in the ways that we expected and in the types of transfer targets that they've gone after. But going to Wembley is a requirement of Chelsea. We should be there every couple of seasons, if not every season in one form or the other. So it's a little bit of lip service where I think he wants to get the Chelsea fans on his side. You know, it's a new generation. We're trying to do things a different way. We're trying to get to finals. But listen, the history and the heritage of the club doesn't go away. We've gone through, I think, 5 or 6 FA Cup finals in the last 5 or 6 years, however you want to look at it. We've not won a lot of them. But ultimately, I think Pochettino, maybe not this season, but in the next season, if he's around, and that remains to be seen as the managers, as the owners review in the summer, should be expected to be pushing into the final stages of these major tournaments, should be expecting a team that's costing £1 billion to be able to make it to Wembley every season, one way or the other, should be expecting to challenge for these things, not be pleased that we somehow scraped by Leicester in the 90th minute to get there. So raw emotion, raw thoughts, but that is my feeling on it.
I 100% agree with you. And a lot of what you have said may come off to fans that are listening or fans that aren't Chelsea fans as bratty or as entitled, but it's coming from a place of we've seen our club over the last 20, 25 years under the Roman Abramovich era make it to finals. And it's not that we're saying we should always be in finals. We've made it finals and lost, and we're very well familiar with that feeling, having lost 6 cup finals, domestic cup finals in a row. But for him to sell me or tell me or tell the fans that, oh, you should be happy we're going to Wembley, like you said, it should be a requirement. We should be making it to semifinals. We should be making it to finals. Now, what I'd like him to say is, yeah, we're going to Wembley, and yeah, we want to go back to Wembley because that's where the final is. But ultimately, we want to put this record of 6 defeats straight because that's who we are. That's who Chelsea is. And that would resonate with me a little bit more than saying, well, when I was at Southampton and at Tottenham, all due respect to those two clubs, they're not Chelsea. They haven't had the success. And forget the Roman Abramovich era. Even before that, before he came in, we did win cups. We did go to Wembley. Yeah. We did go to the old Wembley, and Di Matteo scored winners. And we maybe weren't making it as frequently as we did after that. But Chelsea has always been a club that makes it to cup finals and makes runs in the cup tournament. So that's where it bothers me a little bit, in that mentality of what are you really trying to get the players to believe in? Because you set the standard as the manager. You say, we have to make it. Not that, oh, we made it, let's celebrate that. Because players are going to get smarter as they get older and say, that's not what I want. But ultimately, he's taken us again back to Wembley, and I got to give him credit. And he has made progress. So I don't want to be too critical of him, but I did want to bring up that topic.
Yeah, listen, for any new Chelsea fans or for any fans that are here for the journey, I think this has obviously been new to us in the last couple of years. The Roman takeover was unlike anything we've ever seen. And to the points you've mentioned before, Rahul, the previous ownership had managed to attract good players in the likes of Zola, Viali, Robbie Di Matteo, Hullet. There were a bunch of guys that were clearly talented, wanted to play for the badge, wanted to squeeze in trophies where they could. And so regardless of new ownership, regardless of whatever player pulls on the shirt, you have to look at history. You have to look at what they've done, what they've achieved. And I know there's a whole brand new squad here, but you don't have to look that far back to 2021, where a team was able to go all the way to the Champions League final and get the business done. So there's a lot of motivation in recent history, and if you go back further, to have a standard set. And I'm hopeful that whatever he says to the fans or to media is to keep us at arm's bay, to take pressure off of these guys, where he, behind closed doors, is putting the pressure on them to step up each and every week. And I do see little snippets. We talked about Mudryk. We talked about Jackson Palmer flying through the goals and the assists. So I'm hopeful that this is just front-end service, and behind the scenes, he's doing everything he can to motivate them and help them realize getting that first duck over the finish line, whether it's winning the Carabao Cup or the FA Cup or a smaller trophy, it doesn't matter, right? It's just the start of something huge that's supposed to happen with the vision of the owners and the belief of the fans.
100%. And I think that's a good place to leave that topic and wrap up our episode. So thanks for listening. It's been a good episode, a win off of Leicester, win off of Newcastle earlier in the week, and we go into the international break coming back hoping to pick up some more wins and make a charge in the FA Cup. So that wraps it up, guys. Thank you very much for listening. Please continue to subscribe, like, and follow us. It's at the Premier Chels on all podcast providers, Instagram and Twitter. And we will be back with a new episode. But until then, up the Chels.